Today on Real Radio.
All the other doctrines of the Bible support it. Because as you and I are concerned right now, and forever, by the way, is that we're with God. How did that happen? Soteriology. The salvation of God. He did that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. There are many misconceptions about what it means and what it takes to obtain salvation, and the only true way to clear up these issues is to consult Scripture. That's precisely what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs does for us in these lessons called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation.
I, as a pastor, do not want to have you attending this church and come to the end of your course and not know or be able to explain why you believe what you believe. And so for some of you, this may be extremely redundant, but I would say, as the epistles write, it's good for us to be reminded of these things. How's that? So we're looking at a series called You Need to Know. You need to know, and we've been looking at certain aspects of or topics of biblical doctrine. Biblical doctrine, the word doctrine means teachings. The Bible is the teachings of God or the doctrines of God. Now, today we start out by breaking open a doctrine that will by nature have to be almost a series within a series. And here's the reason why. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? "For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." For the Jew first and also the Greek. First of all, the gospel goes to the house of Israel first. You not only see that prophesied in the Old Testament, you see Jesus upholding those prophecies by commissioning his disciples to go to the lost sheep, he said, of the house of Israel. Remember that? Go to them first. The gospel, by Old Testament promise, had to go to the Jews first. There's coming a time when it will go back to the Jews again. That's, by the way, the seven-year tribulation period is their great time and opportunity that's yet coming, where they'll spread the gospel around the world. Paul the Apostle, imagine 144,000 Paul the Apostles on the planet. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation period. Their time is coming. But for the last 2,000 years, it's been your opportunity and my opportunity as Gentiles, predominantly so, to proclaim the gospel according to the word and the will of God. But what is it that we're proclaiming? We've looked these last few weeks at how you and I must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. But by what vehicle or by what means are we born again? How do we enter the kingdom of heaven if being born again is the requirement? Well, the answer is the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Soteriology, the word is rooted, first of all, it's broken up into two meanings. Soteriology, the first part of that word, we get the word savior or to be saved or salvation from that. The word ology would be that which the word is studied, the study of the word regarding salvation. As we study these next several weeks, and we're going to have some fun. I hope we have some fun. I want it to be super fun, because the topic is vitally, vitally serious. But when we consider eschatology, for example, the study of future events, Christology, the study of the person of Christ, what does the Word say about Christ? What does the Word say? Israelology, what does the Bible teach from Genesis to Revelation about the study of Israel? Is it biblical? Is it historic? Is it real, for example? So when we come to soteriology, for those of you who are taking notes, and much of this morning is going to be introduction because of the magnitude of this topic, keep this in mind. great scholars whom I highly respect will argue with one another, and it's a great argument, it's wonderful, as to the preeminence of doctrines, which one would be the most important one, they'll ask. That's a good question, right? If you're a student, you're going to ask questions like that. Out of all the doctrines of the Bible, which one's the most important? And they'll talk about it. They'll come down to, when they can't agree, they'll come down to the top five. And then they'll still argue about it. And then they'll come down to, well, golly, soteriology's got to be maybe three. It could be two. It could be one. But certainly Christology would be in there, and eschatology is extremely important about the future doctrines of world events and what God's going to do. That's very important. No doubt about it, it's very important. But I am going to introduce to you another view. So, oh no, what is this? No, relax, it's all biblical. Here's the deal. Soteriology, again, are the words of your salvation, okay? The salvation of God. So rather than this church, rather than us argue, is it less than eschatology, the study of future events? Is it greater than? Here's what I believe. From Genesis to Revelation, I see God's word speaking to us about salvation. And so if this doctrine is so highly regarded that people cannot agree where to place it because it is so important. When I, as a bozo, back up and look at the Word of God and see that that is really for me the true passion and meaning of, frankly, God's existence for me right now. In other words, I'm glad that God exists because He loves me, says the Bible. I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that. Look, I appreciate that God has created the universe and all that stuff, and that's all true. But what does it matter to me if I'm lost? I'm glad there's a heaven. I'll be even more glad to be there. I want the reality of this. So I'm going to introduce to you an argument that I've not yet found. And if this is a blessing, then God gave it to me. And if it's stupid, then it's all mine. But out of all the listing of the preeminent or primary doctrines of the Bible, how about we let great doctrines be and not even allow soteriology to be put on a list from 1 to 10 or 1 to 5. Why? I believe it's all by itself. I believe it is so awesome that all the other doctrines of the Bible support it. Does that make sense to you? Because as you and I are concerned right now, and forever, by the way, is that we're with God. How did that happen? Soteriology. The salvation of God. He did that. I want to read to you what Dr. Charles Ryrie wrote from Dallas Theological Seminary in his book on systematic theology. He says, soteriology must be the grandest theme in the scriptures. So I'm with him. It embraces all of time as well as eternity, past, present, and future. It relates in one way or another to all of mankind without exception. It even has ramifications as to how it affects the sphere of angels. It is the theme of both Old and New Testaments. It is personal, national, cosmic, and it centers on the greatest person, our Lord Jesus Christ. From God's perspective, salvation includes the total work of God in bringing people, listen, from condemnation to justification, from death to eternal life, from alienation to association. From the human perspective, it incorporates all of the blessings that being in Christ Jesus brings both in this life and in the life to come. Well stated. Rather, though, have it on a list of number one or two or three on a list of 10, I like to say it this way. The topic of soteriology or salvation that we're going to be looking at the next few weeks is supported by the totality of Scripture. And I think I can prove my claim to you this morning. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis 3:15, you can turn in your Bibles or look on the screens and mark it down in your reference. Genesis chapter 3:15. Why is that important? As you turn there, I want to make this clear. I'm a big fan of Bible prophecy. I love it, and it was used in my life to bring me to Christ, Bible prophecy. But you might find it interesting to note that the first prophecy uttered in the Bible is not about deciphering the 10 toes on Daniel's great image of the world events. It's not about the dragon that rises from the sea with four heads. It's not about this particular angel or that particular nation. Though those things are important. Mark it down in your note-taking. Why is Bible prophecy or eschatology important? Because the first, listen, eschatological utterance from God. In other words, the first statement about future events is regarding your salvation. Yeah, somebody, thank you for saying wow, Peggy. Someone else should have, you all should have said wow. Look what it says. God announces in Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity, that is warfare, I will put warfare between you, he's speaking to Satan, and the woman. And between your seed, this is radical. Your seed, Jesus, or God is speaking in Genesis, Satan, you are going to have descendants that think just like you do in the world. Your seed. I'm going to put warfare between you and the woman and your seed, Satan, and look, her seed. What's interesting, you see the capital S? Why is it capital in the English Bible? Oh, because it's divinity in the original Hebrew Bible. From Eve is going, from her genealogical, hematological bloodline, from Eve, will come the Savior of the world. That's why it's capital S. By the way, we're all adults, and here I can say this, a little bit of biology clash right now. Women don't have seed. If you're Hebrew today, you should freak right now about Genesis 3:15. Because God introduces, oh, by the way, Satan, you're going to get your head crushed in. That's actually what the term means. You're going to get your head crushed in. It's going to be fatal. Because you know this woman you just duped in the garden? I got news for you. From her hematological line, her bloodline, will come one who will crush your head, and it will be from what will happen to her. There will be a child born without human intervention. It will be God-planted child. That's why you see a capital S. You guys, if you're Jewish right now, you should go home and study your scriptures, because Genesis 3:15 introduces the virgin birth of the Messiah of Israel in the world right there in that one verse. But look what it says. It says there that he, Satan, you, will bruise or scratch his heel. You're going to afflict pain in the Messiah's physical life, but read the fine print, he's going to crush your head. Isn't that cool talk? He said, why do you point this out? Because salvation is the first prophecy that God gave before he talked about Persia, before he talked about Israel. Do you understand that? You guys, he is absolutely, if I can say it in a divine, healthy way, God is preoccupied with the doctrine of salvation. I want you to think about that for a moment. We're going to answer questions like, unsaved, always saved? Can you lose your salvation? We're going to answer some, where do babies go when they die? What about their salvation, if any? What happens when someone who's a Christian, like I know somebody in Orange County, who commits suicide as a Christian? Do they go to heaven or hell? Listen, what does the Bible say about that? We're going to have an awesome couple of 3, 4, 5, 10 weeks in this particular topic. And I'm so tempted I'm not saying we're going to do it, but on some Sunday, maybe, I would love, maybe near the end of this series, we would come to a Sunday morning with a Q&A on these topics. I know that's not normal, but then we're not normal. So that'd be kind of fun. We're looking at a message now for these next month or so, all about your salvation. All about your salvation. It is, as Dr. Ryrie points out, and I agree, the most preeminent doctrine in all of the Bible. I'm going to point some things out to you by way of introduction, and I hope I have your attention regarding this. When we talk about soteriology, or the study of salvation, mark this down in your notes. Number one, it is the centrality of God's mission to mankind. From Genesis to Revelation, it is the purpose behind the very word of God. For example, the men are ending their retreat up on the, well, not yet, but they'll end their retreat soon. They'll be coming down the mountain. They're studying the book of Ruth. And I don't know what, wife, I don't know what kind of man you're going to get coming down the mountain after he studied the book of Ruth. Maybe more in touch with his feminine side, I don't know. But I know this, that the book of Ruth, for example, is all about redemption. We went through on Wednesday night looking at the book of Esther from a prophetic view, and we used Benjamin Netanyahu's speech on Tuesday. Remember, were you here? Did you see the news regarding Purim, the celebration regarding Persia 2,700 years ago, how Persia and the Persian leaders said, we're going to destroy every Jew and the Jewish people. And remember what God did? God used Esther and her uncle Mordecai to expose the plot of Haman, and Haman died by the judgment of God. Now, are you sitting down? Netanyahu mentions that on Tuesday. I was so glad that he got my email that we were reading the book of Esther, because he mentions it to the world on Tuesday, speaking in Congress. And then the next day, we met on Wednesday in our service, and we mentioned Purim, the celebration the Jews do around the world for the death of Haman, who wanted to kill them. And Netanyahu mentioned that the head cleric of Persia today, has been declaring all of his life since 1979, this guy, same as all the others, death to Israel, death to America, death to Satan, death to the great Satan, that's Israel and America, and the Jews are going to be destroyed anytime now, and he's been doing his thing, he's been tweeting it and all this kind of stuff. As we mentioned on Wednesday, don't mess with God's promises. And listen, he warned Persia 2,700 years ago, don't pick on Israel. And they were just about ready, they still are, just about ready to pick on Israel, and their chief guy was saying, go get them! Okay, listen, this is a big deal. Say, what's your point? It's all about God's deliverance. God will deliver Israel. He promises that in the Bible. And listen, God has promised to deliver all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is absolutely the wonderful doctrine of redemption. And keep that in mind. A.W. Tozer says this, and listen carefully. By the way, this is written in 1952, what I'm reading to you. If man had his way, the plan of redemption would be an endless and bloody conflict. In reality, salvation was bought not by Jesus' fist, but by his nail-pierced hands. Not by muscle, but by love. Not by vengeance, but by forgiveness. Not by force, but by sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our Lord, surrendered in order that he might win. He destroyed his enemies by dying for them and conquered death by allowing death to conquer him, says A.W. Tozer. Paul puts it this way in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What an awesome statement. The great Reformation era English preacher John Wesley, founder of the Wesleyan Church. John Wesley, when he was addressing his future pastors and evangelists for the Methodist Church, exhorted them, saying, you have one business on earth, to save souls. What a great statement. Ecclesiastes. You see, why is this important? Because Ecclesiastes 3:11, the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has placed eternity in our hearts. Did you know that? I don't care who you are this morning. I don't care what you believe. The Bible says God has placed eternity in your heart. That means you're concerned about life after death. You say, that's ridiculous. I don't believe in life after death. So you say, but I don't believe you. You may not believe in life after death, but I have great pleasure to tell you, I don't believe you, if that's your belief. Because God says that every human being has a concern inside of them about eternity. Every one of us. Where will you spend eternity? And it's no time right now to be involved in wishful thinking or wondering or hoping that it all turns out good for you. No, the doctrine of salvation, the Bible says of itself, is to be known by that person who is in fact saved. It's also interesting to note, I hope you get pumped over this thing. I like this argument. I got this from Dr. Henry Morris. He said, it's interesting to know that in every known culture in world history that has ever existed, past and current, that the archaeological evidence of man in that culture having a form of religion which offers a means of redemption is native to every culture ever discovered by man. I want you to think about that for a minute. I'm pausing for effect. Let that sink in. You might say, well, I was born under Soviet rule in Moscow, and we were taught not to believe in God. Listen, the reason why you were taught not to believe in God is because that dictator wanted to be God. He couldn't handle the competition. Believe me, someone will always be God. When God's not allowed to be God, man will insert himself as God. Thus, atheism is a religion. But if you take your shovel and you go to the American Indians, or if you go to the South America, if you go to any culture, if you go to China, wherever you dig, you find trinkets, temples, places of worship and adoration of a demigod, god, or gods, without exception. Archaeology declares man is prone to worship, period. And in every culture, there is a mode of or an attempt to gain salvation. Listen, I don't know if you've been to Zion National Park in Utah. If you've never been, you got to go. It's gorgeous. I mean, I think it's about a 7-hour drive, if I remember. It's wonderful. Some of the most unique topography you'll ever see on the planet. But when you go into that canyon and you drive down toward the end of the canyon, as you're going through, I believe it's on the right-hand side, if my memory serves me correct, there is this massive rock that ascends thousands of feet up, much like Half Dome that we have. They have what's called the Great White Throne. Have you been there? It's the Great White. I'm not calling it that. They call it that. The National Park Service calls it that, the Great White Throne. Why? Did you know that the Native Indians of southern Utah would take their child and they would go to that edge, and they would cast their virgin child over that cliff in hopes of appeasing the gods so that they might have some form of forgiveness or redemption. Think of it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About Your Salvation. It's really a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies that take a look at the essentials of our faith. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About Your Salvation on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a reminder about the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free, and once you download it, you'll have immediate on-the-go mobile access to real-life TV programs, our daily Real Radio broadcasts. You'll have video of Pastor Jack's weekly teachings, the online Bible, along with its daily reading plan, by the way. You can listen to it and or read it. Pastor Jack's real-life devotionals, tools and resources to help you know God a whole lot better. And you can connect with Pastor Jack through Facebook and YouTube and a whole lot more. That's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. It's a free download. Just go to your app store and find the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Want to reach us by phone? Real easy. Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.